You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Looking forward to this weekend, Arkansas and Kentucky over at Bud Walton Arena. Mark Pope on his radio show this week, the Kentucky coach, he said that it's the first time that he's come to Fayetteville or that he will have come to Fayetteville since 1995. That was a big game. And I'm just going to take everybody a little inside baseball here. Anthony is our basketball reporter. He's sitting over here to my right now. I don't even know what you just did. Please don't do that pose. Again. Anthony's frame of reference for Razorback basketball goes back how long?
As in, like, how long I've been covering the team?
Or? There you go. That's pretty much your frame of reference for Razorback basketball, right?
For the most part.
It's not a knock on you.
Since I'll expand it a little bit since I started covering college basketball.
Here's one thing I noticed when I was reading your story last night about Mark Pope. You did not understand the historical significance of when Kentucky came here in 1995.
I was not alive.
I know.
I was not alive. So I tried my best. I knew it was a top 10 matchup. And, you know, obviously Kentucky.
Everybody remembers that game because it was on Super Bowl Sunday. It was the.
I did not know it was on Super Bowl Sunday.
I don't think it was the lead in to the Super Bowl because I believe the Super Bowl that year was on ABC.
Okay.
It was the Chargers and the Niners. And the Chargers won big. The Niners won big. Chargers lost big. But Arkansas-Kentucky played earlier that afternoon on CBS. Jim Nance was there. Billy Packer was there. I mean, this was a big deal.
Yeah.
And you think about in 1995, Kentucky had been to the Final Four. Well, even go back another year. 92, Arkansas enters the league. They've got Todd Day and Lee Mayberry and Oliver Miller, and they win the SEC. That's the same Kentucky team that had Pelfrey and Farmer and the Unforgettables that lost to Christian Laettner on the shot at the Elite Eight. 93, Jamal Mashburn leads Kentucky to the Final Four. 94, Arkansas wins the national championship. 95, Arkansas loses in the national championship game. Kentucky got to the Elite Eight that year, and you would have had an Arkansas-Kentucky Final Four matchup had North Carolina not beaten Kentucky in the Elite Eight. Many of those players who were on the 95 Kentucky team, they're on the 96 Kentucky team that wins a national championship. 97, Kentucky loses in the championship to Arizona. 98, they win the championship again. Arkansas-Kentucky during that, you know, Arkansas had fallen off by the late 90s. But I would say from about 92 to 96, and certainly in 95, Arkansas-Kentucky was huge. They played two games in 95. They played the game on Super Bowl Sunday where Scottie Thurman hit the shot that beat Kentucky 94-92. They played again down in Atlanta at the SEC Tournament Championship game. I think this is still a record attendance for the SEC Tournament at the Georgia Dome. Like 40,000 people were in the arena. It was insane. Half blue, half red. And Arkansas couldn't hit a free throw at the end. And Kentucky came back from a big deficit. And they won by 2 points in overtime. It was 94-92 in the regular season. It was 95-93 at the SEC tournament. This was like the zenith of Arkansas-Kentucky basketball. And I don't think you knew any of that when you wrote that story last night.
No, I just knew it was a big game and that Mark Pope got into a snowball fight.
He did. tell people about what he had to say about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was talking about how that was the last time he was at Bud Walton Arena and how, you know, he and, like, the team bus couldn't go down the ramp because there was too much snow, too much ice and everything. And, you know, there's, like, fans probably on each side of, like, the ramp just waiting to, I guess, throw the snowballs, but I guess it would typically be just, like, boo. And Rick Pitino, the Kentucky coach at the time, he stands up in the front of the bus and he's like, I don't remember the exact quote that Mark Pope had said. He's like, I hope everybody here knows that you're going to get hit by thousands of snowballs and I expect you to return fire or something like that. It's the only moment of levity that I think you'll ever hear from 1990s Rick Pitino. Which now he likes to crack some jokes and stuff in interviews. I think he's calmed down a little bit in his old age, I guess. Maybe he's embraced the fun Rick Pitino, I guess, more in his older age. But yeah, kind of a neat little story. And I knew it was a top 10 game. I didn't know it was Super Bowl Sunday. And all that, but I'm like, I guess vaguely familiar with the history, but yeah, I was not alive.
Houston Nutt would tell his football players to put their helmets on when they got off the bus at LSU, and it was not snowballs that they were worried about getting hit by.
Beer cans?
Nah, who knows? Who knows?
Rocks?
But that Arkansas-Kentucky game in 95, like if you look back on, what is this, 32 years of the arena now? I think this is the 33rd year, 33rd season of the arena. That is probably, in fact, I wouldn't even say probably, it is definitely a top five game all time at Bud Walton. And you might be able to make an argument that it is the best game that's ever been played there.
All right. And now we know.
There you go.
You're telling me that you didn't think the Jackson State game earlier this season challenges that?
I don't think so.
What about Queens?
No. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm sitting here trying to think, like, in the last decade or so, what games?
Probably that Auburn game, right? When Auburn came in number one.
Auburn was a big one. Beating Duke was a big deal.
Those were both before my time covering the team. I know my stuff.
You go back like even a little bit more than a decade when Qualls had the dunk to beat Kentucky in overtime on a Tuesday night. That was a big one. But, yeah, 95 Kentucky. I just go back to two top 10 teams, two programs that were really pushing each other and by association kind of pushing the sport along in the mid-90s. You're going to have a hard time like convincing me that there's been a bigger game. Yep. At Bud Walton Arena the day that Mark Pope had his snowball fight out back.
I think there's a fun story. I enjoyed listening to it.
I love it whenever you can get coaches, and that's one of the things that those coaches shows are really good at, or if you get to, as a reporter, you can go in and you can have sit-down interviews with them. When you get them to just kind of open up about their stories,
they're more
the
authentic selves. Yeah.
You can get some really, really good stuff from them. And so I really enjoyed reading that yesterday. You got this game on Saturday night. Arkansas, I think, is a 6.5 point favorite.
Yep. This last I checked, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the last time that Arkansas would have been that kind of favorite over Kentucky. I really don't. I don't know that it's ever happened.
Yeah, maybe the 2021 season when Kentucky was bad and missed the tournament, maybe.
Yeah, it wasn't a good Arkansas. It wasn't a great. I mean, yeah, Arkansas ended up going to the Elite Eight that year, but that was one of those teams that was kind of your typical Musselman team that they got hot at the end. You know,
that's fair. Yeah,
Musselman was like a good horse trainer, who he could get that thoroughbred really going at the end. Okay. But you know, like he might be back of the pack. You know, several links to start the especially conference play. But this game. You look at Kentucky and all the players they're missing. Mm-hmm. It's a significant, you know, people talk about Kentucky $22 million roster, this, that, and the other. You know, you're missing several
Lowe,
million
Quaintons,
dollars,
yeah, Cam,
right,
Cam
that,
Williams,
that aren't going to
yeah.
play.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think you've certainly seen that, especially with, I mean, Jaden Quaintance, you know, he came in, you know, with the ACL tear and, you know, it was always kind of a gamble to bring him in, I think, just because, I mean, it's a serious injury, and you know he played well against St. John's when he came back, but you know for the most part hasn't you know done quite as much since then. And obviously he's only played in four games, and it sounds we haven't gotten the availability report, but just from listening to Mark Pope's press conference, it doesn't sound like he's going to be available for that game either. So you kind of knew going into it that Quaintance was going to be. You know, not available until later in the season, uh-huh. You know, so that one was always kind of a little bit tough, I guess. But then you lose, you know, Jalen Lowe for the season with his shoulder. You lose Cam Williams with a broken foot for, I don't know if he's, you know, a sizable amount of time. And I mean, they've missed Mo Diabate for a period of the season. And yeah, so. It's tough, especially, you know, Jalen Lowe is really the only true point guard on this roster for Kentucky, and you lose him for, you know, the entire season. You know, you've got to use, you know, Denzel Aberdeen as a point guard, or you got to use Jasper Johnson as a point guard. So, yeah, it's tough to come back from, right? So I think that's a big reason as to why Kentucky has struggled at times this season, but, you know, and talking to Kenny Payne earlier today, obviously Kentucky just went on that five-game winning streak, and you know, the Vanderbilt game was, you know, as Kenny put it and as John Calipari likes to put it at different points in time, just a burn the tape kind of game. But yeah, no, it's when you lose guys like Jalen Lowe, like Kalen. like Cam Williams. And then, you know, Jaden Quaintance looks like he's going to be back. And then now he's, you know, he's dealing with his knee swelling again. And, you know, it's tough to deal with stuff like that for sure.
Do you think Mark Pope kept the tape burning room at Kentucky's facility?
I would. I mean, you never know when you're going to need to burn some tape.
And, you never know when you're going to need it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Arkansas has burned some tape this year. You know, Georgia and Auburn, I'm sure Kentucky's burned some tape. Vanderbilt, Gonzaga, you know, whoever, you know, it may be. So everybody needs a burning room, right?
LSU. LSU's burned a bunch.
Yeah, LSU has burned a bunch. You got a tape burning room?
I don't know. No, we haven't added on to the house yet. the $22 million. Here's a thought I had on that. Was earlier this week, people who have paid attention to our site know that, you know, the Board of Trustees voted on this transfer from campus to athletics for the first time. And during that meeting, Ed Fryer, who's one of the trustees who was part of the search that ended up hiring Ryan Silverfield last year, he said that as part of that search, a number that kept coming up from prospective coaches was that we need $25 million to fund a championship level playoff caliber roster in football. Kentucky's got $22 million reportedly in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, let that sink in for a second. They're paying their basketball team what coaches are telling ADs out on the road that it would take to have a playoff caliber football team.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It really is.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and obviously it's kind of hard to verify with the Kentucky report just, you know, how accurate it is. But, I mean, it like I think you said it earlier on the show in the past, just like, I mean, once that number's out there, it's going to be in the consciousness for forever. So it's
but always
tough
be
to
skeptical
say. Yeah.
Of it. Always be skeptical of those numbers.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And it's so hard to, you know, to track, and they've made it difficult here in our state with some of the rules that the legislature has passed to where you can't really get, or you're, you know, I mean, I guess somebody could challenge this in court, but it would be difficult as it stands right now to get, you know, the financial information on what exactly payers or players are being paid. You got the NIL component. You've got the rev share component. Two very different things. It is such a gray, murky area that these high-level college teams are swimming in. Even, I mean, you don't even think you have to be a high-level college team. Look at Arkansas football. They're, you know, they're swimming in that too.
Yeah, no. So it's yeah. But I mean, regardless, you know, you expect, you know, if that number is accurate or close to accurate, you know, you expect, you know, a team to show better results, I guess, or more consistency than I guess what has, you know, been on display so far this season for Kentucky. And there's been times when Kentucky has looked good. I mean, like we just mentioned, a 5-game win streak.
When they came back and beat, you know, Tennessee and Knoxville, I thought that was a really impressive win.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, beating Indiana and St. John's, I thought those were two, you know, nice wins. I mean, neither of those teams are necessarily what we've thought they would be, you know, at different points of the season. I know St. John's has just cracked back into the AP top 25 and is top 20 in KenPom, but still, you know, St. John's was top 10 preseason and, you know, hasn't really lived up to that billing, but, you know, obviously it's a long season. There's still time to go. So, I mean, there have been points in this season which Kentucky has looked good and, you know, has, you know, gotten some nice wins, but, you know, it hasn't really been super consistent. And I guess maybe some of that is down to, you know, roster construction, Jalen Lowe being really the only true point guard, you know, that obviously has come back to bite them. But yeah, I don't even remember what, oh yeah. So, and you know, with that figure accurate as it may be, accurate or not, you expect more consistency. You don't expect to lose by 25 points to Vanderbilt. You know, as good as Vanderbilt is, I don't think you expect that or, you know, the 900-point defeat to Gonzaga, even though Gonzaga
both in Nashville, by the way.
Yeah, they don't want to go.
Where the SEC tournament is going
to
be this year.
They don't want to go back to Nashville. Our third time's a charm, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But, maybe. But yeah, so you expect more consistency, especially with, you know, the resources that a Kentucky has. And I think some of that is down to, you know, roster construction, you know, just, you know, speaking with friends of mine who cover Kentucky, that kind of seems to be the, I guess, just overall, I guess, thought around that. And you expect more consistency to come when there is, I guess, that level of institutional support. And that, you know, at times it's looked like it's started to trend that direction, but then other times it's just not there. So it's been an interesting year for Kentucky, I guess, is one way to put it.
We want to tell you about Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. They're at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. If you missed it yesterday, hope you'll check out the conversation we had with Joe Klein up at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. It's always entertaining talking to Joe.
Yeah. And no, I thought it was cool. Yeah.
I thought it's kind of a nice mix of him talking about this year's team, and I thought it was kind of funny whenever I brought up Bill Laimbeer. I don't think a whole lot of love is lost between Joe Klein and Bill Laimbeer.
That didn't seem that way.
Well, you think about those great Celtics Pistons battles of the late '80s. I mean, it was the Pistons were trying to, take supremacy of the Eastern Conference. Yeah. Those were
wars.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it was very similar. Like the Pistons were in the, and I mentioned the Jordan Rules documentary or The Last Dance talks about this a lot too. You know, the Bulls were in that situation in the early '90s where they're trying to wrestle control away from the East from the Pistons. Well, it was the roles reversed. The Pistons were the team that, and those were, what do you say that. You know, it would be a flagrant five foul now, of what happened during those days.
Like assault charges or something like that, I think you said.
I think somebody went up and asked him afterward, it's like, what would Carter Knox's foul have been?
A flagrant zero.
A play on, probably. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to kick that.
No, you're good.
We got little props under here. I just booted one.
Just
with my...
nailed my knee. Workman's comp.
Yeah.
HR.
So let's talk more about this game. From an Arkansas standpoint, they're playing – I don't even know if I'd say they're playing well. They're playing well enough. They play great against Vanderbilt. Last two games, maybe this is a little bit of you play to the level of your competition, or maybe – I think this – if you got Arkansas's coaches in a private, you know, moment and asked them and they told you truthfully, I think they might tell you – may have overlooked LSU and Oklahoma a little bit. Not that the coaches did, but, you know, the players. And I don't think they're going to have that problem with Kentucky.
No, for sure. I mean, especially when – I mean, you look at the next two games after the Kentucky game, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but it's Mississippi State and LSU, which
– And you get a week off. You get the midweek off before that Mississippi State game.
Yeah, the bye week. Like, I think I'm going to go to Cancun.
This is like this is the time Saturday just to go let it loose.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to have
You're going to have recovery time. And, you know, like I said, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, it's Mississippi State and LSU are the next two games on the schedule. And, you know, those are two games that you're going to be expected to go in and probably win and win with relative ease. You know, obviously there are two road games in conference play, and those are never going to be easy. But regardless, I mean, it is two games that you'll be expected to win. And, you know, obviously there's, you know, the emotional aspect of the Kentucky game, you know, with, you know, it being obviously, you know, John Calipari was the coach there. A lot of the staff was there and DJ Wagner was there. Carter Knox and Billy Richmond were signed there. And, you know, when John Calipari first started recruiting Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas, he was there. So, I mean, there's a lot of that as
well.
Can
I interject one thing here too? One thing that doesn't get talked about a lot, you know who else was there? Chan Coleman, Martin, Kenny Payne. Like, it wasn't just Calipari
who was kind of
run out of town. It was, and I know he left voluntarily, but they had made it very uncomfortable on him. Like, it's personal, I think, for way more than just John Calipari. I know he's not going to say all the right things in public, but you know that this is one he really wants to have, and not just him, but everybody over there in that building.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, it's you know, you got all of that going into it. You've got the extra rest components, and, you know, as far as we're all aware, there's, you know, the full team will be healthy and available. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun, I think. So,
I heard somebody say something the other day to the extent of, well, Kentucky's players can play hard for Mark Pope too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know what the relationship is between Pope and his players. I don't begin to pretend to know. I do get a feel though from covering the team, I think you get a good feeling. You get a good sense of what this feeling is like, I guess what I'm trying to say. There's some kind of real deep connection, not between every player, but between a lot of the Calipari players and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this Carter Knox, brother played for Cal. DJ Wagner, father played for Cal. Carter, you had players on the team last year who you had that.
Billy Richmond,
dad, this year. So I think that there was something when they went into Rupp last year where, you know, because they really have an affection for their coach, mm-hmm. and a deep appreciation for him, I think that that was part of what was on display in that game. I do wonder whenever you're Kentucky, and I don't know, again, it may be that way there with the Kentucky players and Mark Pope, but I do wonder if there is that same element there for them where they're in not the same situation Arkansas was in when they went to Rupp this time last year, but they're kind of in a similar situation in that they have not performed up to their expectations. Do they play hard for their coach or do they not? I thought Arkansas last year played hard for their coach. I don't know. You know, we'll find out tomorrow, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's the case with this Kentucky team.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of always been a thing. Like, you know, Cal's guys go to war for Cal, it seems,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that relationship, it seems like, you know, extends beyond college with how close it seems like he and, you know, guys like Derrick Rose or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Devin Booker or whoever it may be, you know, it seems like those guys always stay close. And, you know, obviously I don't have any firsthand experience with Kentucky, but it seems like, you know, Mark Pope and his players get on pretty well. And, you know, it seems like there's a good relationship there. So, yeah, I fully expect, you know, both teams to come out and play hard. I'm expecting a good and, you know, I'm expecting an entertaining game, right? I mean, you know, both teams have had their struggles on defense, but, you know, and Kentucky's offense has been kind of weird as well. Mm. But, I think you've seen it click at different times. I mean, you've got guys like, you know, Denzel Aberdeen and Otega Owe, and, you know, Malachi Moreno, I think, has been, you know, a really good, you know, addition for them as a freshman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've got players, they've got pieces who can, you know, play well and hurt you. So I expect it to be a good and entertaining game for sure.
You remember we were talking back during the first week and a half of the SEC season, how Arkansas, when they went from Ole Miss to Auburn, it was a Wednesday night, they played in Oxford, they get back, quick turnaround, they're going to Auburn on Friday, and how we said, you know, sometimes in professional sports you call that a scheduled loss.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's got something similar, although not totally similar. They went to Vanderbilt on Tuesday night, and so they've got that extra day. It's not a Wednesday to Saturday turnaround, it's a Tuesday to Saturday turnaround, and let's face it, the trip from Lexington to Nashville is not very long.
But you did have the weather there. Apparently, the weather in Nashville was like...
Well, I mean, like, they've had a terrible ice storm.
Yeah, it was like a hockey rink or something.
But I wonder how much do you think that extra day helps a team whenever they're traveling back-to-back games like this?
I think it's probably helpful, for sure. Like, I mean, I know just from my limited experience in college athletics as a soccer player, I always appreciated the extra day between games whenever they came up. You know, it helps with the recovery time. You can get in the ice bath and all of that, and, you know, see the trainer if you need it more often. But
were you a cold tub guy instead of a hot tub?
We only had the cold tubs, buddy. We didn't have hot tubs. We were playing community college soccer, and in fact, our cold tubs, we were basically just like ice. They're like, You know, those plastic room temperature tubs,
right?
No. They were cold. A lot of ice poured into, like, you know, like, you know, those, like, big plastic trash cans you hit carry around. We jumped in those, filled it up with the water from the hose with a bunch of ice. But yeah, I mean, so that was kind of that. But yeah, cold tub and or cold trash can, whatever you want to call it. But I always appreciated the extra day between games just because then you get a little extra time to recover and all of that. So I definitely think it helps for sure. And, you know, having come off a pretty handy defeat, you know, I think that, you know, even getting that extra day to kind of get that out of your system, I think that also helps as well. So, yeah, it, like I keep saying, I'm expecting it to be a fun one tomorrow at Bud Walton.
Give me the hot tub every day over the cold
tub. I don't disagree with you at all.
Yeah.
We just didn't have that option. It was get in the trash can. We've got ice and water.
Mm.
Have fun.
I was talking to a coach up here a couple of years ago. We were talking about routine and like what your routine is like on a day-to-day basis. And he said he woke up every morning and just took an ice cold shower. Like it was the first thing he did.
Like, I mean, you know, that's
Two, 3 minutes. But it's like, it just wakes you up.
Yeah, I know. It helps with like your awareness. Apparently it's better for your skin to do the cold showers. Mm. Like over the summer when I would like walk my dog and then go for a jog, an unintentional rhyme. But yeah, I would do a cold shower after that. And it helped. You know, I wasn't like, you know, the steam wasn't turning into sweat after I got out of the shower. Mm. There was no steam in general. I was freezing. But yeah.
Let's say Kentucky tries to take away Darius Acuff, because that's the key. I mean, that's the goal, I would think, of every team. Now, that's way easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because he's so quick. It is so hard. You heard Joe Klein talk about this yesterday. He said it is so hard to stay in front of that guy.
Yeah. Or like Tyler Euless said when I talked to him, like he just wakes up with 20 points. It's, you know.
Let's say they can take him away, though, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas, what's their key to win?
I think you have to get, you know, your other guards involved. If you have Darius Acuff not play, if Kentucky can take Darius Acuff's effectiveness away, I think that's when you need DJ Wagner to step up. That's when you need, you know, Malik Thomas to step up. Like against Oklahoma, I thought Malik Thomas was really good in, you know, the limited stretches in which Darius Acuff was on the bench. You know, I thought he kind of kept, you know, Darius Acuff, I think he played 36 minutes in that game. So, I mean, it's not like it was a long time, but you know, in those few minutes in which he was, I thought, or Malik Thomas, I thought played really well in those moments. So there was that. But if Kentucky can effectively take away Darius Acuff, then I think they certainly need DJ Wagner to step up and be, you know, I guess, you know, who he was down the stretch last year when Boogie Fland went down. So I think that's kind of a big benefit of having a guy like him is he is capable of stepping up in those moments. And he had a really nice game against Kentucky last year too. So I think, yeah, those,
you know,
if Kentucky can take away Darius Acuff, I look to, you know, DJ Wagner and Malik Thomas. I think those are the guys who you need to step up in that scenario.
I really liked from Acuff the other night at OU was the fact that he is okay. And I think this is where he has grown the most since he got here is that he is okay being the distributor. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to have 20 points. Now, he typically does. As you said, he wakes up with 20. Yeah. But he doesn't have to. And, he, you know, you saw against OU the other night, he made the plays at the end that won it for Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so convinced that they wouldn't have won anyway. Like he would have made plays in a different way so that, you know, Malik Ewan could have an open dunk or something. Mm-hmm. And maybe that wins the game.
Or find Carter Knox cutting or...
Yeah, know, so, I mean, yeah. So I think that's the biggest growth that I have seen with him. And I think it is so valuable when your best player knows that he can influence the game without scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I still see with this team, if they can figure out some things defensively. And you kind of see them figuring out things defensively in the second half here lately. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like it got a lot better against OU, got better
for sure.
Against...
The first half defense against Oklahoma was...
Well, the first half defense against everybody right now. I mean,
yeah.
Vanderbilt was kind of... It was okay. Maybe it was more Vanderbilt missing shots early. Mm. But, I mean, they're giving up way too many points. You look at the halftime scores that they've got right now, they're really, really high scores for the most part. But I think that where I was going with this is the fact that Acuff is okay with being a distributor and he's their best player. That's what gives me a lot of confidence in that the ceiling could be really high for this team mm-hmm. when the season comes along or you know gets toward the end. It just feels like there's still a lot of growth potential with them. That's not always the case with teams this time of year where mm-hmm. it feels like, hey, they've hit their ceiling.
Yeah, you see
so
a lot of teams, you know, kind of hit their peaks, if you will, mm-hmm. this time of year. And you know, obviously the goal is to be playing your best basketball come tournament time. And, you know, so, yeah, if you, like you said, you can see a lot of growth kind of still to come, which is, you know, especially on the defensive end. I mean, the offense is, you know, one of the best offenses in the country, and I don't think there's anybody who would argue against that. But the defense is obviously where the most growth is needed.
I love Dane Bradshaw's quote the other night.
The
Final Four offense, round of 32 defense.
Yeah.
Basically, the quote was, he said, you can't have a Final Four offense and a round of 32 defense and expect to go very deep in March.
Yeah, which is, for the most part, it is true. Every once in a while, you'll have an outlier. You know, like that Alabama Final Four team, I think, was rated 111 in defense.
Yeah.
Or defensive efficiency.
They just shot 53s a game, and about 20 of them went down.
So, I mean, there are... you know, some outliers to that, but for the most part, I mean, it is a very true statement. So, yeah, you need to see the more continued growth, I guess, on the defensive end, especially in the first halves.
This is a big game in the SEC this weekend. I think it's the biggest game in the SEC, at least on Saturday. Sunday, there's going to be a game between Alabama and Florida in Gainesville. Kind of interesting that they put that on Sunday. It's been a while since I've seen an SEC basketball game on a Sunday. That used to be kind of a common deal where, you know, if you could get a you know, like CBS or someone to televise a game, this one's going to be on ABC. Mm-hmm. But if you get somebody to televise a game, you'd bump that game to Sunday.
You don't have
that.
To deal with the NFL competition, too. So, I mean,
Not this weekend, at least. But Arkansas,
give me a game to compete with the Super Bowl.
And I told you this last week. I thought that there was a chance, and I thought it was a slight chance that game day might end up here for Arkansas, Kentucky, mm-hmm. because of that storyline. I thought there was a chance they'd end up at Rupp last year, but again, you've got a Kentucky team this year that is underperforming to this point. Last year, you had an Arkansas team that was underperforming to that point, and I kind of think that by year three, that storyline, Cal and Kentucky.
Yeah, it's kind of
it's still there, but it's not
the
last year. It was the first time there. This year, it's the first time here. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe they've missed something there, but I certainly understand why they went to KU and BYU this weekend.
Yeah, Darren Peterson and AJ DeBanza. Right. Sounds like Peterson's going to be available to play.
I think that's the only top 25 matchup on Saturday too.
Cinema.
Yeah,
I will be seated if I can for as much of it as I can.
Isn't that the lead in to Arkansas and Kentucky? I think
is. I'll be sitting down at my press row seat.
Yeah, I think that's the lead-in.
You think
to
that's
the,
not going
to
be on my laptop?
Oh, there'll be like 50 games on there. I don't know how you get them all on there. But I think that's the lead-in to Arkansas and Kentucky this weekend. I say all that to kind of set up the games around the SEC this weekend. A&M goes to Georgia.
First
LSU.
Place A&M.
For now.
Which
they're a half game ahead of Arkansas and Florida.
Yeah. I mean, but still.
No, I mean, they're
Bucky
in first place.
Bucky McMillan's doing a good job there.
Did you see how Georgia lost its game the other night?
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
LSU goes to South Carolina. Texas goes to OU. Mississippi State's at Missouri. Ole Miss is at Vanderbilt. And Kentucky here at Arkansas, the late game Saturday night. Auburn is going to go to Tennessee, which is kind of a low-key, really good
matchup. It's a fun game,
matchup.
Yeah. No, it's I think those teams kind of butt heads a little bit. I think that, there's a lot to look forward to in that, obviously.
Well, you got the Pearl tie
there. Stephen Pearl played there. Obviously, Bruce Pearl coached there and all of that, too. So that is a fun one.
And you
one,
got
yeah.
two teams that need wins to help. I don't think either of them necessarily are on, like are a threat to lose the NCAA or to not make the NCAA tournament right now. Mm-hmm. But you look at their records, I mean, Tennessee's 14-6, Auburn's 14-7. Somebody's going to lose this weekend. You know, you start getting into the double-digit losses, and that's where you start
it becomes dicey. Yeah.
You sweat it a little bit.
Right now, it looks like all the teams, you know, from A&M to Georgia probably look pretty good with regard to tournament standing. But, You don't want to test it. That's for sure.
SEC standings.
Yeah, you get some bubble teams in like Missouri and Texas, but then you don't want to test it. Sorry.
There have been three people try to call me today during this podcast. It usually never rings.
Popular man?
No, that one was spam. I don't want to be popular to them. let's hear real quick before we get out of here. SEC standings right now, A&M, 6-1. They're in the lead, half game ahead of Arkansas and Florida at 6-2. You got three teams at 5-3, Vanderbilt, Auburn, and Kentucky. Alabama and Tennessee are both 4-3. Alabama's not going to have to forfeit the game against Tennessee last week because they didn't win it. You've got
they could have to forfeit the Missouri win, though.
They might. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be.
You see the picture making its way around the internet yesterday that
Giannis and the AI, Bama had traded Alabama. For Giannis. Yeah, but I'm not a legal expert, so I will keep my. I'll keep my hands out of that bucket, but yeah, it's a fascinating story to try to follow for sure.
It's Georgia, Missouri 4-4, Ole Miss 3-4, and then down toward the bottom you got Texas, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and then LSU and Oklahoma are bringing up the rear. We're midway through after this game on Saturday. That's the midway point of the SEC season.
Yeah, that's kind of wild to think. The fact that Sunday is February is crazy.
Yeah.
Basketball season, it goes by too quickly.
That's every season. Think.
Yeah. It makes me sad because I like watching basketball.
You go like football season goes by really fast. I always have this thought, and it's one of those things where it feels like just the years are slipping by and going too fast. Whenever football season kicks off in September, the first thought in my head is it's going to be June before I know it. Because it goes football to basketball to baseball, and I mean it just goes like that right there.
It does go quick,
real fast.
Yeah, no, it's fast.
This should be good tomorrow.
Too fast.
5:30, Arkansas and Kentucky. It's going to be on ESPN. We'll have plenty of coverage on our website this weekend at wholehogsports.com. Hope to see you there. We're back here on the show Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.